All right, here we are on Sunday morning, and we go to school with the professor, the third base coach of the Giants, Ron Rodas. Well, how are you?
Marty, I'm great. I'm at the ballpark here, and I don't see any vegetables or any hot dogs coming in, but I'm sitting up here. I got a good view of the third base coaching box with a couple of my friends, a guy named Adam Copeland and another guy named Marty Lorre.
Yeah, I just tweeted out the picture you sent me, so you're up there with my cutout, and they cut off my arms for some reason. I don't know why. But I thought I got a good view of what's going on there.
Yeah, this is a nice seat. You know, when I'm all done and retired and I come back, this is a seat I'd like to sit in. So, yeah, you got a good view, and I hear you're even visible on television once in a while with the camera angle. So you got a good spot here.
Yeah, absolutely. I told Adam yesterday when there's a right-handed hitter up, if you look over his right shoulder, and with, I got the yellow shirt, you can actually see me. What do you think about the cutouts? I mean, look, you're at third base, and, you know, it's so different. What do you think about the cutouts?
Well, I think, you know what, as we get more here in San Francisco, it certainly fills up the stands instead of being empty. So It does bring a little bit more intimacy into the ballpark in that regard. Of course, everybody's having fun with it. You know, I'm looking for fans that I know. But, you know, last night, I have to be honest, I was sitting there at third base, and I thought I was in Korea or somewhere. I didn't know what the heck was going on. I'm looking in the stands. I see all these guys. It's just so surreal. And two nights ago, Belt and Crawford didn't start. I'm coaching third. I look into the dugout, and behind the dugout in the stands is Crawford and Belt. And it's just so odd to see the players in the stands. And I talked to them about it, and they said, yeah, it's really, really different for them. I said, you guys ought to go behind home plate and watch the pitcher. So maybe they'll end up over there next time they're off.
Boy, well, what a different baseball season. We know it, and you and I have been on every Saturday, and we've with Bill as well, and we've talked about it. It really is amazing. Well, you're getting ready for a long road trip. How about that? You got a pack, and who knows how this is going to turn out.
Yeah, well, we had something new this morning. You know, every 2 days we do the spit test for the testing of the COVID. And this morning they did the nasal swab because you get immediate results. And that way, anybody going on the plane, we don't have to wait, you know, a day or day and a half to get the results back. Yeah. They're immediate. So that's another protocol. I don't know if they just changed this. We didn't do it the first time we flew, but it seems like that makes a lot of sense before we get on the plane. And we're asked to wear N95 masks on the airplane now as well. So, you know, the protocols, you see what the commissioner said, they're trying to tighten things up. We've had too many outbreaks. The virus doesn't care, but it's certainly not getting any easier. Let me put it that way.
Well, what a week of Giants baseball! Look, the team is 5-4, very competitive in the National League West, and as I've said, the American League West, they're not gangbusters either. So I think this could be, if this thing plays out, even a 60 games could be interesting for you. But you had the walk-off by Yastrzemski. You've got Yastrzemski and Solano just going off the charts. I talked about projections of 162 games and talking about, 180 runs scored for Yastrzemski and 234 RBIs for Solano. But it just shows you, well, you get a couple of guys who are hot, and you get a team that's doing something offensively. You can carry a team like that, and these two guys have been fabulous.
No question. We're scoring runs. I think the hitting guys have done a wonderful job with the plans against the other pitchers. You know, good hitters always have a good plan. You know, they don't go up and swing at breaking balls when they're looking for fastballs, or they understand what they're looking to hit, and they understand the pitcher. You know, on the other side of that, what you were saying about these guys, you know, projected out to do so well, you know, right now, the All-Star break is behind us, right, in the regular season. And we're right in the thick of the pennant race. If it was a regular season and we were in this position with 2 months left, we'd be extremely excited. So, every game is so important. We're holding our own. You know, usually you'd say, well, can you continue this for a whole season, right? You got 6 months, but we don't. We have less than 2 months left. If guys stay hot, and we perform well, it's anybody's ball game.
Yeah, it's showing that. And look, when you score runs, and you know, it's a game of bullpens, and frankly, you got six lefties in the pen, you got a handful of righties. How about this Peralta? League is 1-for-16 off him. How do you like the way Peralta's throwing?
I like him. I mean, we liked him last year. He has stuff. He has some weapons. You can use him in, any point in the game. He's not afraid to pitch late in the game, and he has the stuff to get people out. And the thing that makes him very effective as well is not only does he throw hard, but he's good against righties as well because he has a really good changeup. And he has a breaking ball. He's a tough guy to hit. And you know what? Maybe he'll end up getting some late innings for us. Because with the game on the line, we want to see who can pick up those roles to pitch when we have a lead late in the game. And right now, John Gotti, I like to call him, Mr. Gott, has done a nice job for us. And we need those guys because that's really the unproven area. We don't have a true closer. And nobody on this staff has ever done that role. And it's different. Not everybody can pitch with the lead when the game is on the line. So it's great that Peralta's throwing the ball good, and they're all doing good. So far, so good.
Yeah, really. Tyler Anderson, we'll probably maybe see him today. And you've got Connor Menez, who's pitched great. And then you got the guy, you clued us in on this guy a few weeks ago, you did, when Bill and I were talking about him, that's Barragar, Caleb Barragar. Let me tell you something, Joey Gallo is a pretty good player, and he's one of my favorites, and he made a great throw last night and a great catch as well. But Barragar came in at a critical part of the game and bailed out Sean Anderson and just put Gallo away, and I thought that was maybe the most impressive at-bat of pitching performance of the night.
Yeah, for a young guy to come in and face a hitter of that caliber in a situation like that, it's really good to see. And the thing that, impresses me, we talked about it before, is his mound presence. He's not rattled by anything that goes on. He's got the right heartbeat out there, and he has a good live fastball. It comes right at you. It's like, here it is. Let's go. And with that mentality, I think he's got a chance to be a pitcher in this league for a long time.
Yeah. Well, very good. I give you credit for that one. Well, the Heinemann brothers, there's no lineup card, but at least they got to go out to see the umpires last night. What do you think of that?
Yeah, that's neat. I had a chance to talk to his brother yesterday. They were 2 days ago, excuse me. They were chit-chatting by the dugout, and I went over, and he introduced me to his brother. And his brother's built, boy, I know our Heinemann wishes he had the body of his brother. I mean, he's strong as an ox, but seemed like a couple of great guys. It's really interesting and exciting to see brothers on a major league field. I can't imagine, if that was my brother, the feelings they must have. And, last night, though, our guy gave his brother something to hit. He threw him a high fastball up there. I wonder if he said, we got a 5-run lead. Let me get a cookie in there for him and give him a home run. We'll still win the game.
Well, look, he hit it the other way, too. He hit the golf ball the other way. And you get that ball up in the air, and it does go out. And our Heinemann had a big hit, too, I thought. He had a nice hook double down the line.
Yeah, he did. So, it was fun to see those two guys especially being a catcher, right? It's like he's catcher. He's calling the pitches against his brother. I'm sure he knows, how he wants to get him out. It's neat to see. You don't see it very often. And those human interest stories, I think that's awesome to see.
Carmen asked me about that yesterday on the show. And, I'm Frank Robinson. I say no fraternization. I come to the game to win the game. But it is part of baseball. It is part of baseball to have those moments. So, I'll give it to them last night. It was pretty good. Let's stick with Heinemann for a minute here, Woe, and go to school with the professor on Sunday morning. These rundown plays, Woe, we've been doing the show for so many years together, and we talk about rundown plays probably a half a dozen times a year. We had another crazy one last night where the umpire got whacked by Tyler Heinemann, and he had to leave the game. Hopefully Jim Wolf is okay. But take us through that rundown play, Woe. That was another sort of disaster.
Yeah, first and third, we knew they were going to steal. We threw over on a 1-1 count. There was two outs, and you know, not a lot of teams throw through to get that that runner at second, because you know, some you had speed at third, and Andres, who can run, he's actually stole home before. A lot of teams like to double steal if you throw through. Anyways, we picked off Gallo at first. Belt did a nice job checking the runner at third, then throwing to Crawford, and the ball got to Solano. And Solano got Andres hung up between third and home, so he redirected the ball back to the catcher, and that's when the non-perfect rundown really
the
began.
Keystone the Keystone Cops happened.
Right? Yeah, exactly. You mentioned the Heinemann brothers. That sounds like a circus act, the Heinemann brothers, but but it wasn't. You know, and he's at a disadvantage in that rundown. You got a guy that's extremely fast. And he's not that fast, and he's in the middle. You know, when a guy is in the middle, it's a difficult rundown. If he's closer to third or closer to home, it's tough. And I remember we had catchers, Benji Molina, poor guy, would get in a rundown. It'd be very difficult to get that speedy guy running full speed because Benji can't run that fast. So it's a little trickier of a rundown. And, you know, people say don't pump fake the runner, but if you saw Andres last night, he was changing direction every time there was a throw. Sometimes when you're not real fast, you can give a real good pump fake, and that guy will stop and change direction, and then you're able to tag him if you keep running. Mm-hmm. But it was a difficult runner. He got out of it, and it's a timing thing and an instinct thing to some degree when it gets to that point, because it's hard for a real slow guy to get a speedy guy running full speed, make that one throw, and tag him out. So there's multiple mistakes on each end. But it's not an easy play.
Well, then Jim Wolf got whacked. How about that?
Yeah, you know what? Exactly right. You know, Wolfie is such a good guy. He was seeing stars a couple innings later. I talked to him, you know, after the inning and went out there, and he said, yeah, he's not feeling so good. He lasted a couple more innings, and so he's out. So we wish him well. I hope he recovers quickly. I'm sure he's concussed, and hopefully he won't be too long before he's back.
Boy, what a crazy night at the ballpark. Boy, you see, you know, as I always say, you see something different, and I hadn't seen that one before. Well, a couple of things. One, Wilmer Flores, we didn't see him in there last night. Another big home run for him this week, three-run shot. This guy swings the bat. Well, I will tell you something. I know defensively, you know, there's some throws and issues going on with him, and they move him around a little bit. But, boy, this guy swings the bat. He is a major league player.
Yeah, he's definitely a quality hitter. He always has been. I mean, he started with the Mets years ago. He's always been a tough out. And, you know, last year Arizona used him primarily against left-handed pitching, who he absolutely destroyed. But he can hit righties, too. I think, we jumped to platoons so much in this game because statistically it says, well, this guy's better against right, this guy's better against left. But the bottom line is these good hitters like Flores and Solano, you're seeing him right, left, they don't care. They're hitting the ball. Good hitter's a good hitter, and he's off to a good start. Both of those guys have really contributed so much to us early on this season.
Well, plus he had an anniversary, very interesting, July 31st, and a couple of days before that, a few years ago, the Mets were going to trade him, and he heard he was being traded, and he cried on the field. Then a couple of days later, he ends up hitting a walk-off home run and then goes into New York Mets history, and he's really one of the beloved New York Mets, and now he's here with the Giants. Did you ever talk to him about that?
Yeah, Marty, matter of fact, I did because two nights ago they showed it on MLB. They showed the tears in his eyes going out in the field. So I had to ask him because usually when there's a trade, you don't let the player even go on the field. So I asked him, you know, how did you hear about the trade? Did somebody tell you? Why were you on the field? And he said, well, he said he knew that he was possibly going to be traded. But Terry Collins, his manager, didn't say anything. He was playing in the game, and he came up to bat. And obviously a writer wrote something, or I don't know if there was tweets back then, but some news broke that he was involved in a trade. And the only way he knew is because the crowd started cheering him and his at bat. He didn't do anything yet. He just walked up to home plate. So he said, something's going on. The bat was over. He asked Terry Collins, what's going on? He goes, am I traded? He goes, I don't know anything. and he got very emotional. And he thought that, you know, he was going to be traded. And Terry Collins, because the game was out of hand, took him out of the lineup. Two innings later, the game was like 8-0, you know, because Terry was like, well, maybe we did trade him, you know, because obviously the fans had something on the internet that they were reading. And then he told me, you know, after the game, actually the owner, Fred Wilpon, came down and told him, you're not traded. You know, they had a deal, I guess, on the books. It was him and I think Wheeler, our guy.
Really?
And it was... And that's what he said, but I don't know if he was over there at that point in time. But it was a deal with Milwaukee for Carlos Gomez, the outfielder. And the rumor is that they had a deal on the books, and then somebody backed out maybe because of a physical or health, but they heard he had a bad rib cage. And that's why it went by the wayside, and he was never moved.
Wow, and then he comes up a couple of days later and hits a walk-off home run. How about that?
Yeah, that's great. You know, that's so great to see. I mean, anytime a guy's that emotional on the field, he's playing for the Mets, and the fans get to see that. Here, he, you know, I mean, he's a Met. He doesn't want to go anywhere. Then he comes out and hits a home run. I would have gave him a standing ovation as well.
Yeah, nice. Now that we know that, I'm glad you told that story. Now knowing a little more of the background, and now we know him a little bit. You know, in the big home run, and he comes to swing the bat. It's not Sandoval swinging wildly. This guy has an eye. He likes to hit, but he doesn't chase as much, and that's kind of the way I feel about him. So I'm glad you got to tell that story. We'll probably see him today. I assume we'll see him in against Allard today. Well, Allard, do you know anything about Colby Allard, 22 years old? He's a left-hander. He's kind of not an eccentric guy, but sort of a fun-loving guy. For Halloween, he dressed up as Johnny Manziel. How about that?
Did he really? Well, as soon as I'm done rubbing elbows here with Marty Lurie and Adam Copeland, I'm going to go in and find out about this lefty, because it's been a quick turnaround. You know, we had the night game. We came in. We have all these protocols. Got to get something to eat. We got work on the field in an hour, and trying to get packed up to go for this longest road trip of the year. So we'll get a look at him when we get inside and see what he's got. I've never seen him pitch, so I don't know anything about him.
Yeah, neither have I. But Johnny Manziel, I guess, was his guy for Halloween. So that shows a little. He's a lefty. He's a left. Lefties are always a little different. One last quick thing with you. 41 years ago, baseball in the world lost Thurman Munson in a plane crash. The Yankee captain, the first since Lou Gehrig. Well, some of your thoughts on Thurman Munson. I'm going to talk about him a lot today. And we've got Jerry Nairn, who was the catcher who succeeded Munson for the Yankees, going to tell some stories about Munson, too. Your thoughts on Munson?
Yeah, no, I'm glad you mentioned Jerry Nairn as well. He's been a coach in this league, a manager. I know him very well. We played against each other years ago. A good guy, a great baseball man, so I'm sure he'll have some good stories. But, you know, I grew up a Red Sox fan, you know, hated the Yankees. Those were the two teams that I watched, and I was just a young man at the time. I don't have any personal stories of Thurman, but, you know, it was devastating. Anytime you lose a player in a tragedy like that, you know, I came up with the Pirates, and it was Roberto Clemente as well. But Thurman Munson was the guy. You know, there was just something about him. He was one of those personalities on the team, one of those players that people feared at the plate, and he was such an important part of the Yankees. You know this better than I do, Marty, having, you know, watching him back then, and I was a little bit younger, but I think he's a player that people don't forget. You hear the name Thurman Munson, you know exactly he was a Yankee and who he was.
Yeah, I'm glad you could say that about him. He was a Yankee. He was the guy. We'll talk about him. But Jerry Nairn, well, you were exactly right. The stories he tells are just fantastic. And we've got about 7 minutes with him. We'll play it later in the show. Hey, take care of yourself. I'm glad everything is well with you. And you know, it's been a good week of Giants baseball. You got a real challenge ahead of you, and I appreciate you taking the time to be on. And I put the picture of you with the cutout of me on the internet, so we'll see where that goes.
All right, sounds good, Marty. Great being with you again on Sunday morning.
All right, well, take care of yourself, and I'll talk about River Islands when Woe is gone. Well, take care. All right, more coming up, KNBR 680 and 104.5, the Sports Leader.